People are going to feel weird when there's no call to action in this episode. So they're going to be like, that's weird. And honestly, the biggest reason isn't the astrology. It's because you said sideways 69 52 times in 3 seconds. So I don't know.
Listen, that's just facts. It's not sexual.
I don't know that sideways 69 is just facts. Hello and welcome to episode number 543 of the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things entertaining but do not matter.
To find out more about these monocultural pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast and on Twitter at PodcastPod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking The More You Know.
But before we do that, you guys, on Friday, June 21st, we will be in Dallas at Gillies Dallas. And then on Saturday, June 22nd, we'll be in Chicago, Illinois at the Vic Theater. Imagine your favorite Wednesday episode, but in 4D. Tickets go on sale for our best friends of the show on Monday, February 26th at 10 a.m. And then our friends of the show and Note for the Audio newsletter subscribers get access on Tuesday, February 27th at 10 a.m. Central. And then the general public gets it on Wednesday, February 28th at 10 a.m. Central Time. Visit knoxandjamie.com/live to learn more.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Jamie, it's time to do The More You Know.
The more you know.
Okay, we got a lot to talk about, a lot of Super Bowl adjacent things to talk about. Jamie, did you watch the Super Bowl?
I watched it. I watched all of it. I watched people singing patriotic songs. Mm. I watched commercials. I watched halftime. I watched clubbing parties after. I did was consume this content. Now, listen, I will say, I secretly did want the 49ers to win, just because they have the less racist mascot. However, and it was just to keep it fresh. You know, like the 49ers haven't won in a minute. But I did realize that the manifestation of white women across the globe was too strong. And so Taylor
Swift. That's one way to describe it. You could also just say it was Patrick Mahomes was too strong.
God, is he adorable? Am I in love with him? He is my precious baby angel. I love him.
Part of me wants to challenge the assertion that the 49er or the Chiefs have the more racist mascot. I would venture to say that a lot of the gentlemen in the gold rush in the 1840s probably didn't have the coolest views on stuff. You know,
sure their own version of racism, but not appropriating an entire culture. And listen, even though NFL did write end racism on everything.
Yeah.
I think the call is coming from inside the house.
Well, they said end it. They didn't say we can do it. They were just like, someone should end this.
Hey.
Talk to me. What was the Super Bowl setup like for you, Jamie?
So I had a friend over and we watched it on the screen. I had electricity because I haven't had electricity in 8 days. And I came home to it. Thank you to Kevin, my electrician, who got it done.
Was Kevin the electrician the friend?
No. He was not the friend. He's
so you didn't have a party. You just had one person at your house watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. Interesting. And then we watched it and we ate wings.
Mm-hmm.
We did some Zaxby's.
Yeah. Did some Zaxby's.
It was fun.
Aaron, like, what is your observation of this conversational transaction? Do you feel like it's normal? Like this is
no,
a normal person?
It is not normal at all. It is absolutely abnormal.
Oh, welcome to the group, Aaron's voice.
Yeah, sorry, everyone. I had a sinus infection from hell.
Aaron was sick in our last episode, and she was like, I am fine. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get sick. Because I do make it about me immediately. And I was like, oh, no. But I did not get sick, even though she was sick.
Because I wasn't sick then.
Sure.
Right, right. Well, we can play back some tape and know that that's not true. But then she like took to the bed. Like,
yeah, it was bad.
Multiple days.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she's here just grinding out podcasts, you know, trying to understand what doing a Zaxby's is with me.
I don't like doing a Zaxby's at all. But the nature of the wings added to the conversation is what's making me, giving me
now
pause.
Mine were boneless.
You're just
I don't think that's what you want in that situation.
I don't either.
Well,
it's not doing a good Zaxby's. Aaron, what was your Super Bowl situation?
Ben's brother and sister and our sister-in-law came over, and Marlo watched the whole thing. She wore her Taylor's version NFL Aww. Shirt. I wore my Swift Bowl shirt.
Nice.
So we just, I mean, we watched. We were really there for Usher.
Yeah.
We were there for Usher, and we were there to catch glimpses of Taylor. So that was our vibe. None of us are very big football fans, but I like watching football. I feel a lot of pressure, like amongst like actual fans.
No, the Super Bowl is perfect. It's eventized. You just hang out.
Yeah.
Like if you want to watch football, there's so much happening. You don't need to do that. So it's the perfect cross section.
What about you, Knox? What was your setup?
We had a Super Bowl party, had some friends over. I did some light barbecue smoking, you know, a little Boston butt, couple ribs, made some dip, you know, real casual stuff. Some friends brought some adult, libations, you know, and then I got the text actually that my son wanted to see a movie with a friend. Maybe similar to your kind of, not electrician and Kevin, but like a friend, right?
Okay, yeah.
And this movie theater just so happened to be 30 minutes away. And so this was in the middle of the party and, you know, trying to be a good dad. So, because the weekly schedule's tough. So
by creating boundaries and saying, no, you can't ask in the middle of us throwing a party.
No. He had soft launched it with me. So I was like, all right, we'll figure it out. So I drove definitely the speed limit to that theater and back, and no tickets were had.
You missed an hour of the show?
No, you know, I got back right before. I didn't get to indulge in the adult drinks though. So I had to keep it straight edge kid, you know, legal guy here, you know. And then I had to leave into the third quarter to go pick up and bring back. So I got the radio call, but it was a great group, fun. Kids were there. Lots of stuff happening. It was a good time. And the best of all was, you know, Jason and I talked about this on Over Under, trying to figure out who to bet on, you know, and there's so many prop bets. You and I talked about it. And the more, you know, last week, like you bet on everything. And at the end of the day, I was like, hey man, you're kind of a stupid guy. And the more decisions you make, the more stupid decisions you'll make. So just make one decision and bet on the best quarterback maybe who's ever lived. And I did. And Aaron, while we're recording, will you look up like used private jet prices, you know, like I'm not out here trying to like, you know, pay retail.
You got trying to get a 2011.
Yeah. PJ. I mean, just like you're secondhand not. PJ. Yeah. I feel like that's reasonable. It's a good use of funds. So it was a good night. It was a good night.
Well, I will say I watched part of, because of, I was on Twitter because that's, Twitter's is its best when we're all watching the same thing. And everybody kept posting about Nickelodeon. And so I switched to Nickelodeon halfway through the trip. And we were like, we did not want to turn back because Dora the Explorer was doing a great job explaining things to us. And I really enjoyed how much Patrick from SpongeBob was dumping on everybody playing on that field. It was a delight.
Listen, Dora put some people out of work. Jean Steratore, she's coming for your job. Okay. She explained it really quickly and easily what's going on. I think we keep the cough. I think the cough is good.
Even if it's that juicy, juicy.
No, I think it sounds like hard hat, lunch pail. Again, Aaron just here. Putting in the work, in the trenches, podcasting with the takes, you know?
Right, because she won't rest. Yeah.
Well, I did. I rested all week, and that's why this week is going to be hell.
That's true. That is true.
This does feel like you're soft launching an ASMR kind of like spinoff podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to my ASMR.
Close. Listen,
that could be your own tier. Make your own Patreon.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Maybe I will.
Okay, well, let's go. Let's talk about commercials. Let's do we'll do Super Bowl Smash or Pass. And obviously, the commercials are such a big deal. I do find while I'm watching it in a social setting, I just can't really focus on the commercials if we're talking.
Yeah.
Luckily the group really started to scrutinize the commercials. So I didn't have to rewatch as many. But if we're talking about them in terms of good or bad, Jamie, like, where do you want to start?
Okay. Let's start with my favorite one. And it's only because it wasn't really about the commercial, and that is Verizon's commercial
with
Beyonce and Buster / Gary / Tony Hale.
Okay.
And that is because, listen, if you're looking for a woman who can do an album drop, and that's not targeted, I'm just saying, if you're looking for somebody who's really good at a surprise album drop, it is one Beyonce, Giselle Knowles Carter. You know what I mean?
I think it's good for us to put an over-under on episodes of like shots Jamie takes at Taylor Swift.
Listen, and I feel you put we'll Taylor Swift as a topic. That's not fair. You made her a topic.
This isn't it, though. You went out of your way to go throw shade at her.
I know.
Interesting.
But I did like one of the things I really liked about her album drop is that immediately I had two singles I could listen to. Mm. That's what I'm looking for. I'm immediately, and it's a country album.
I'm like, so ready.
What are you talking about? Which I love, because she kind of did with Act One of Renaissance. She did a reclaiming of house music, and now she's doing a reclaiming of country. And I assume the third act will be rock. And then she'll be like, you will have to deal with black people, and because I'm the one coming for you. And I love it. And so I'm so excited.
The only issue I had with that commercial was I thought her strategies at trying to break the internet didn't make a lot of sense.
No.
You're in space and you're dancing. I don't know.
No, you're got a lemonade stand? Are you batting kids
with
your bat? No, then this is not
I mean, that might have broken the internet, but just a lemonade stand, that's not going to break the internet.
That's right. Although, let me be clear. In the same way that I felt, I will give Taylor some, well, it's just a reminder that I didn't like how Taylor did her announcement, because I felt like it took away from her peers.
You're betting
that's right. It took away from her peers. I did think Beyonce, even though the commercial aired after the halftime show, I do think that, unfortunately, she did take all of the shine away from Usher, because suddenly my Twitter feed was not talking about Usher anymore. It was only talking about Beyonce. And so that's kind of a bummer, like, especially when you have an artist who really, the whole thing about the Super Bowl halftime is they're not paid because, and they even invest their own money. Like, famously, Weeknd spent an extra $7 million for a very mediocre halftime show. Apple gives you a $15 million budget. And then you usually have to, and anything over that, you have to spend out of your own pocket, and you're not paid. But the payoff for you is massive. And so I didn't love that she kind of stole that.
It does feel a little bit like blaming the sun for taking a flashlight's energy away, you know, just being like, well, the flashlight was really important here, but the sun shined and just took it. I just don't know that that's equal. Like Beyonce and Usher.
Not.
You know what I mean?
No, it's not. No, it's 100% not.
Are we, as a country, are we done pretending like Usher is a huge deal? Or are we going to keep doing that for a little
bit? Oh, Usher's fantastic. Usher is a big deal.
A huge deal. Usher is Super Bowl halftime, huge deal.
Because if you listen to that, he is the soundtrack up. Because you're making a Super Bowl halftime show for elder millennials, always. Like,
okay.
That's right now, the season we're in. And let me tell you, everybody turned it up when... like, you just heard the beats caught up.
My theory on Usher is he feels a little bit like Chris Kattan on Saturday Night Live, where it's like, you remember him, big deal, Mr. Peepers. He has some really good characters. But in terms of like the go-to calling cards, I don't know that I have it like hit with him.
No, I know why. Because you never went to the club. You got married too early and you never went to the club.
You were too saved and you were married too early.
You got married too early and you never went to the club.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know. Getting married too early would have changed my destiny of going to clubs.
Fair enough.
You know?
Yeah.
You just want a clubber.
I guess not. I mean, Chattanooga's own Usher Raymond just didn't do it for me. I don't know. I was thinking about him like Sam Rockwell too. Of like, yeah, important, but like, but like, is that what we want for Super Bowl halftime?
Usher has a PhD in gyration, and that was his dissertation.
Was that off the dome or is that pre-written? Be honest.
No,
I want to know.
I had thoughts about it.
I hope you watched like,
I'm gonna
the
ask
part.
You everything you say for the rest of this episode if it
no,
was pre-written.
I like thinking of you and Kevin Electrician, Zaxby's guy, and like Usher
those
gyrating.
Those are two different men. Like, Kevin, two different men.
Put the boneless wing down.
Prove it.
I need to write that. That's good. It's just a good line, man.
Let's finish with that. Sure. Let's go ahead and just wrap it up.
Sure. Yeah.
I thought roller skates, check.
Oh my gosh. Incredible.
Her playing guitar, check.
So good.
Ludacris, shirtless Usher. golly. Like, I was like, let's pause. Let's say a prayer real quick.
What I appreciate about that, obviously, great looking dude, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just him walking out shirtless. It was the process of watching him become shirtless. I really actually appreciated that.
Which is the stripper. He is the best stripper.
I'm going to push back, Jamie. That wasn't stripping. This was tasteful. Okay. This was like, I'm an elegant man.
Stripping can also
taking
be
off
tasteful. J-Lo proved that in Hustlers.
Did J-Lo actually strip in Hustlers? I don't know that she did. That's the mystery.
Well, we didn't get tier A. Well, we did get A. We didn't get tier P.
Okay.
But I also say, listen, I did 100% think, I am also the person on the internet that thought Jermaine Dupri was CeeLo, because I hadn't seen Jermaine in a minute.
Hand up, full accountability. Until this moment, I also thought that was the case. So thank you for helping me.
So that was Jermaine Dupri. That was one thing.
I was intrigued by the glove emphasis. I love that he spent his budget on gloves. And there was a topic of conversation. Why the insistence on the one glove? Is he trying to take one glove back? Is he paying homage to Michael Jackson? If so, that's a weird move, probably. Like, what did you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't like the homage part, because it's just a Bill Cosby situation.
Sure.
And so yeah. I don't love that. But maybe this was him like, hey, one gloves don't have to always be associated with him. I can now be the one glove guy.
Or he's just like, sometimes you just wear one glove and that's okay. And it doesn't mean anything. It's not a rebellion. You know, somebody else at our party made the observation that Andy Reid, you know, he's got like kind of the walrus mustache, you know, they made the observation that the part of his mustache that's still colored, like red, you know, is Hitler's own. So isn't that interesting? Like, care to comment, Andy Reid? What are you doing about that? Either go full white
Well, it's hard to go white too, but you need to get a little blonde.
Yeah.
Dial there. Yeah, for sure.
I didn't love the microphone face placement. It was just like off center and it really bothered me. You know, the only other note I had was like, I don't know why Ludacris, he looked like a futuristic blacksmith dominatrix who was suiting up to play middle school football. And I just thought that was weird.
And those shoes were so like Super Mario coded. I love them. I love them.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny & Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura Frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura Frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
Going back to commercials, I do feel I'm a little embarrassed. I'm a little ashamed.
Yeah.
But the Ben Affleck Dunkin' commercial.
It was amazing. I mean,
it was just like made in a lab for me, you know, like, what do you want from me? I just liked it.
It was perfect. The fact that they're forming a boy band that has no boys in it is just elderly, like New Englanders. Yeah. And the fact that Jennifer Lopez it was actually an adorable little interaction.
Yeah.
And weirdly, Fat Joe and Jack Harlow are there, which you're not sure why.
Weirdly. The idea of Jack Harlow trying to talk Ben Affleck out about a bad decision, that's so what really brought it together for me.
And then the Matt Damon of it, like, how do you like them donuts?
I'm so sorry.
I know. It was excellent. And then her kind of flirting with Tom Brady, who, to be fair, is not hot anymore. Like, that is a sunken in face.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's happening there.
It's a battleship situation that's taken a couple strikes. You know, it's not sunk yet,
it feels like Giselle took all the skincare with her and I was like, you need some hyaluronic acid, my friend. You need some plumping.
He's getting smaller because he's just not playing football, but he's kind of got like Ivan Drago hair going,
yes.
Like real sharp and terse almost.
So sharp. But I did love, Aubrey Plaza drinking a Baja Blast, drinking a Mountain Dew, because I just like the absurdity of it. Just of like, I'm a blast. I'm having a blast. And then just when, you know, Nick shows up, Nick Offerman shows up at the end. I like that.
You like that commercial?
I think those were the words I said. Yes.
I'm just confirming. I'm just confirming. Because I had
like
it
that
in
commercial.
The, it was
no,
in the Chris Pratt.
We always do this. Every year we do this. You like commercials I don't like. I like commercials you don't like. But that's why they're here. They're for all of us.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying you're an idiot for liking it. I'm confirming what I'm understanding from you. I had it in the Chris Pratt Pringles category.
Oh, now like, I have Chris Pratt in a, why are you here? And why aren't you explaining why you're here? Like, why isn't the commercial alluding?
Because what was the joke? He's everyone. He's like Mario and Garfield, so he might as well
maybe
be Pringles. They didn't state that, though,
no.
Which was the problem.
And I needed someone like an extra to come on and be like, you think you can just do everything?
Yeah.
Like, I needed a moment where they did it. I did like Jenna Ortega and her abuelas. And I don't know what it was about one being Dina and one being Mita. I do want to try those Doritos. Immediately, I was like, can I get these at Kroger yet? I like opened the app. I was like, I want them. So that
I really
like
that they had, so they cast Jenna Ortega. And she's in it for 5 seconds.
Right.
At the beginning and at the end. I thought that was a move.
Yeah. It's like, we don't even need you. And then I did like that Kia commercial with the ice rink and the dying grandpa. It got me.
I hated it so much because it was manipulative. But also, it's called streaming grandpa. Every child event is streaming now. That's all. They give you an app and you can watch the whole thing. You don't have to watch sadly from your stupid
window.
But
he's dying, Knox. He's going to die in that.
I don't know.
Well, they need
when
to
I saw
to,
him
first
do
all, they
the
need
10,
to move to a warmer climate. That's
here's
why
the thing.
Died.
When he finger scored, I don't love the verbiage, but that's just what it is. When he did that on the condensation of the window, that made me laugh out loud. But also like the fact that he is too sick that he can't go to skating rink, but he's not sick enough to where he knows like you can't just do a 10 to you because that looks like a 1 to your granddaughter, which honestly would be hilarious if he was like 1. It sucked. Not enough razzle dazzle when you kept right. coat on, you know, be a champion. You know, the Cerave, Michael Cera, I love the lean into it. I feel like they've been teasing that.
Cerave.
Well done.
I like that you were like, it's Cerave and they brought Michael Cera.
God, that would be counterintuitive.
That's the whole
I do
point.
Feel like my way is more fun to say, you know.
No, it is a more fun way to say it. But listen, when he said the thing about, when he said, let my cream hydrate you.
God. Because when he goes and moisturizes 69. The mountain, I love that.
Right.
I love the words being whispered in the back where it's like and moisture, generosity, just good words, man.
Well, and listen, CeraVe won that battle because I don't know if you saw the Cetaphil ad, which was about the dad and the daughter watching football and then becoming Swifties together.
That's right.
And it was revealed on Twitter last night and now in news headlines everywhere that Cetaphil stole that from a TikTok creator. Literally even the white dad, black daughter part.
Oh, wow.
Where, yeah, so brutal for them. You got to pay people.
Guys.
You got to pay people.
Come
on,
what are
you doing? You
can't
just steal ideas from the internet. And
yeah.
Like, they're not
They're probably like,
credit.
It's cost us $7 million. We had no more money to pay anybody. We just got to steal here, you know?
Right,
it's an Aladdin situation. I always will take up the cause of not liking that he just gets us. It's Jesus here. I don't like it.
Let me tell you what I thought was the worst commercial, which was the commercial for Drumstick. Listen, see this?
Yes.
No. So it's Eric Andre gets sick on a plane.
Right.
Already weird. And then he is tended to by a doctor that is also an ice cream cone who goes by Dr. Umstick. I just picture the whiteboard in the ad campaign room. And they're like, you nailed it, Chad. Like, that's perfect.
It's nothing against Eric Andre at all.
Yeah, no.
It's almost like a Yorgos movie. I'm just like, it's not me. I don't want this at all.
It's not
here for this.
Yeah, it's not.
I really enjoyed the Chris Walken impersonations until it got to like, Usher, don't you have somewhere to be? I don't play with time and space, okay? I know this was made a lot earlier. This is not in real time.
Just
you're not
let,
tracking
let
Chris
just
Walken.
Say the fun thing. They don't know. People, not all people know.
It's just who wants that? Who's it for? You know, like what's going on here?
True.
And obviously the big winner for me was the BetMGM, Vince Vaughn, Tom Brady.
Of course.
Everyone can bet except for Tom Brady because he wins
Tom
too
Brady
much.
Made the rounds. He's like, I'm going to make so much money today.
I'm just telling you though, Double V is, you know, like Usher, during the halftime show, when Usher would dance, it was like, this guy's electric. He's so good at dancing. Maybe more dancing and less singing. I don't know. But Double V just cooking people, that's Usher dancing. It's just beautiful. It's art.
It is beautiful. It's art. It's really art. So that was a great.
You know what wasn't art, though? Pluto TV being like, hey, you puds.
Listen.
You freaking couch potatoes. You want more stuff?
Listen, I kind of secretly love that they played with the idea of like America, fields, cows. We like farming, like that somehow farmers are more American than everyone else.
But I like the strategy of like, you know, the worst part of WALL-E, like the part we're trying to get away from. Let's do a world that's set there. You know, let's make all the
humans
that's
right. And then hat tip to probably overall. Listen, a commercial is bad if before the end of the Super Bowl, they've already had an issue, a statement of apology, which that would be the Robert F. Kennedy commercial.
Why'd they have to apologize? Because it was so weird and unsettling. Honestly, to go Snapchat RFK Jr. combo, I was visibly like, what is happening right now? Because the Snapchat one almost broke me, honestly.
Well, listen, it was weird that he was evoking an era where black people couldn't drink out of the same water fountains as other people. Like, hello, that was the whole point of JFK. And then also that it evokes that two of your family members were murdered. Like, we're murdered. Like, we're assassinated.
Let me just clean up a little bit. I'm not trying to represent JFK, but the whole point of JFK wasn't for black people to have to drink at different water fountains.
No, I mean, like,
I know,
that was why he is beloved, because he was like, oh, yeah, I'm Catholic. I understand being outcast. Let's go. You know, I'm wealthy. I'll help you get rights. And so, like, I'll help you get rights, you know, to vote. Like, I'll make it easier for you to vote.
Sure.
And have a good education. Anyway, the crazy part was all of Robert Kennedy's family, and I sometimes think including his wife from Curb Your Enthusiasm, do not support him running for president. Like,
oh, you don't think Cheryl Hines supports him?
I do not think, I think she's like, I do not want to be first lady.
Mm.
Like, this is just a weird, you know how like in a marriage, I'm going to explain marriage real quick.
Okay, no, go ahead.
A marriage that like one of you like pursues and has a hobby or has a beige flag. RFK's beige flag is running for president and thinking he's political.
That might be a red flag. Honestly.
And then he has all these red flags that are also problematic. But he released a statement apologizing for any pain the ad may have caused his family members and noting that the commercial was funded by a pro-Kennedy super PAC, which his campaign did not get to approve before it aired. Now, he sent that apology and then he pinned that freaking ad to the top of his Twitter because he was like, but I also kind of like it, like a little bit. Like,
look,
because
I just...
there are some people who watch that ad who were like, I too miss the early 60s.
I didn't get any of... it felt like an almost like Usher being like, hey, I've got one glove on, kind of like another person who did weird stuff. It just felt weird. It was like, this is a weird ad to be in the Super Bowl, especially after the Snapchat ad, which I can't emphasize enough. It was so disconcerting for me because I was like, what's the product? I don't understand what this is.
Well, I always forget that Snapchat is a thing still, like actively still a messaging app. I always forget it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. The tinies are still on
the
Snapchat.
The children love Snapchat.
So. Horrifying. It is a horrifying, just like double combo of commercials right there. Okay, let's go to, let's stay with the Super Bowl. And I want to talk about some of the trailers that we saw because we got a bunch, got treated a bunch of movies coming up.
It was
up.
Fun. I loved it.
It really was. Jamie, what was one that you saw that you liked?
I liked A Quiet Place Day One. So, mm-hmm. Quiet Place, this is the third in the movie. The second one is not good. I don't think. I did not enjoy the second movie, but I loved the first
one. Oh, I liked it. I liked the second one.
I mean, I think it just wasn't as exciting as I wanted it to be.
You wanted more dad murder.
I wanted more dad murder.
I get it.
That was so good. Watching John Krasinski murdered, it was so great. But this is called Day One, and we're going back to the beginning. And listen, I love a How Did We Get Here? It is my favorite. That's what I always hated about Walking Dead was it was like, why? But like how? But like what happened?
Right.
Like, I want to know. I want to know how my apocalypse comes about. So this comes out June 28th. It's Lupita Nyong'o and Joseph Quinn. Well, I don't know why they're pairing. And at first I was like, oh, well, Lupita Nyong'o. But then I went and looked at her IMDb. I don't know that she, other than Black Panther, and she's not an outstanding piece about Black Panther. That feels bad to say, but like there are seven people better than her in Black Panther, and maybe it's because they're given more to do than she is given to do.
She's like a spy. She's just like a spy chilling. Yeah,
right. But like I looked at her IMDb and I was like, oh no, yeah. I mean us, but yeah. Other than that,
12 Years a Slave, pretty big deal.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Since she won the Oscar, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Since she won the Oscar, which was for 12 Years a Slave, what honor is it? Nonstop? No, is it? She's only the voice in Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And then Little Monsters, no. Queen of Cotway, no. The 355, absolutely not. So I don't know. I'm really hoping for a surge back for her of being great again. So I'm hoping.
I really liked her as the narrator in Who Are You, Charlie Brown. I thought that was some groundbreaking work.
Well, yeah,
so
of course. Obviously,
I guess we just respect greatness differently.
No, everybody talks about that. You're right. My bad.
It is one of those things where it's like, is that choice? She's not going to do much? Is it not out there for her? Is she being judicious? Like, why is she not doing more stuff? It's interesting. Yeah. Do you get the feeling that Joseph Quinn's definitely dying in like the first 20 minutes of that movie? Because that's kind of what I got from the trailer.
No, don't say that. I love him so much from the child show.
Stranger Things.
Thank you.
Do you want to rephrase? I love him so much from the child show. Pull quote? Or you want to like, three, two, one, go.
He was grown when he made it.
Okay, great. Double down, Jamie. I love it. That's good.
Okay, what was the trailer you liked?
I mean, look, Twisters, it's Glenn Powell, it's Tornadoes. It's like everything I want. I like that Glenn Powell's character's name, Tyler. And yes. I like that he calls himself the Tornado Wrangler.
Right.
Any notes with that? Because in my, what I wrote down was just poetry question mark. Cause I feel like that's great.
Yeah. No, listen, that trailer, it doesn't matter who else is in it. And I mean, like, Anthony Ramos, but I remember that you cheated on her. So sure. I'll never forget that. You cheated on Jasmine. But Mara Tierney shows up.
Sure. Like,
what you doing?
Why not?
And listen, obviously there's iconic, all the things, all of the tornadoes, but Glenn Powell is a movie star. Like you are drawn to him every second.
When they do the cowboy hat and the white shirt walking in the rain, that's essentially commercial pornography. I'm concerned that they're making Anthony Ramos radio guy, who's just like, hey, tornado bad, run fast. And it's like, maybe he's got more to offer. The quote that made me laugh out loud from the trailer was when the tornado wrangler, Glenn Powell, says, you don't face your fears, you ride them. I don't think that's true at all.
Oh, yeah, you 100% do.
Feels very sexualized.
And for those who don't know, this comes out in July. This is not a sequel. This is just a movie about tornadoes. That's what they said. They're like, no, it's not. It's not connected to that universe at all.
Sure,
it's
sure,
just
sure.
A movie about tornadoes.
Right.
Now, it is directed by Lee Isaac Chung, which I don't think I had known until this weekend. And I was like, oh, well, he did Minari and he grew up in Arkansas. So I was like, well, he knows about tornadoes. So I trust him. He's a good
movie
maker.
He does. This movie implies that the tornado measurement technology has not improved or changed at all in 30 years.
That's 100% correct. That is accurate.
It's ping pong balls with chips in them and we fly them up and we just like cross our fingers. I feel like we could do better than
that. No, that's like from the old Twister. But like,
That's in this one too. They have the gizmo balls.
I know they have the gizmo balls, but.
I know they have the gizmo balls if you don't think they have the gizmo balls. Do you think they have the gizmo balls?
I do think they have the gizmo balls, but they're like not using Pepsi cans anymore.
Might be better, honestly. Best use of Pepsi I've seen in a long time.
It's a $200 million budget, by the way. This movie has a $200 million budget.
Look, the inversion of, instead of like, let's bog down this movie with paperwork and getting divorced, they were just like, let's just jam Bill Paxton and Carrie. Never going to say, I never remember if it's Elwes or Yules. I'm just going to pick Yules. I don't know.
Oh, Carrie Elwes.
God, I always pick the wrong side. They just smashed that character together and they're like, what if the douchebag was actually kind of cool and Helen Hunt wanted to smash him? And that's this movie, basically.
Well, and it's Daisy Edgar Jones, who I think is a great Helen Hunt replacement.
I love
in life, but just in this movie.
Man, you could tell they tried to make her blonde and they're like, I don't know. We got to spend time on the gizmo balls. We don't have time to make her actually blonde.
We definitely are not going to touch up her roots ever as we film this over 3 months, but this takes place over 3 days. Like,
do you think
weird.
There's going to be a tornado in a drive-in theater scene?
No, but what could it be? But you know what they did, which was better. You can tell somebody's playing an outdoor sport and that because there was like a baseball or softball game going on.
Yeah. Which
that's even better.
Honestly, if there's a tornado warning or watch, I still don't know which one is which, and you're playing baseball with metal bats, you deserve what you get. That's what I'll say. Okay.
That's right. And a warning is worse.
Come on. Come on, guys. But a watch should be worse because you're watching for the tornado that we've identified is coming. A warning is don't.
Watch is casual. Like
a watch. Okay. If I warn you that Mad Men's on tonight, you might not watch Mad Men. If you're watching Mad Men, you are seeing Mad Men. It's there in front of you. It's insane how
we do this. It's fair that we go over this every time we talk about tornadoes.
Thank you. I agree. So, I'm right. Yeah. Was there another trailer that you watched?
Yes, it was The Wicked. And I'm not saying, I can't decide. I want to hear from Erin. Obviously, she's the resident theater nerd. And I do want her feedback. So just as a reminder, Wicked is a stage musical that is based on a 1995 novel that's based on a 1900 novel, right?
Okay. Yes.
And so this has been, listen, somebody posted the tweet of like, this was announced originally in 2016, this movie. Yeah. 2016. Okay. So this stars Cynthia Erivo, iconic.
Love her.
Iconic. Ariana Grande.
Ugh.
Great singer. And this is also where she fell in love with SpongeBob, because he's also in this, Ethan Slater. And then
he's
Jeff Goldblum.
One of the monkeys, right?
I know. Michelle Yeoh, Jonathan Bailey. Oh, Fierro. Listen, he's a great casting.
Yummy.
How'd you feel about not getting, what'd you feel? Like,
it's criminally low amount of Jonathan Bailey in this trailer.
Listen, here's what I thought was great. I thought the trailer was visually stunning. John Chu is directing this. He said in the beginning, we would do no CGI and no blue screen, green screen. Yeah. And
that train
stunning.
Is real.
That train is real. And so I am impressed with if that really did hold true the whole time, that's pretty impressive. And he doubled down last night on Twitter and said, no No,
like, no, that train, we just put a zipper on a Zex toy and shot it, and that's right. The train. Yeah,
that's right. So I did think visually I was really enamored, like with the costuming, with the set, with her. Like, we had gotten like slight glimpses of Elphaba, but I really wanted to see her up close, and she looks so good.
She looks great.
She looks good. I did think it was weird for a musical to not have any music in a long trailer.
No, that's a hezzy hey, man. When you get in there and they're singing, you're like, what? I didn't know about this. Wonka led with the music, and it kind of, you know.
Maybe not. And then I'm going to say this, and maybe this will be where it is great. This musical, I have seen Wicked maybe 3 times. I saw it on Broadway. I've seen it locally, and I've loved it. But it infamously has a really tough back half. Like, the back half is not where the juice is.
Yeah.
Like, you just survive. You got there for all that. And I kept thinking, so we're just going to end this film, because famously this movie is 2 parts that will come out a year apart. I just thought, you're going to end this at Defying Gravity, and then we're going to take an intermission, and then you're going to make a whole movie of the worst parts of the... I'm hoping they do some plot development and maybe change some things from the musical.
Is this like if Elf like paused... Right.
Yes, and
like the Dark Night of the Soul, and they did another movie about the Central Park Rangers.
That's yeah. right. Yes. Ooh. That's exactly what Wicked is. Yeah.
Dang. Okay.
Which is tough. So, Aaron, what are your general feelings?
I'm nervous. I think it's a bad idea to do 2 movies to split it in half. I think they should have tightened up the script.
Yeah.
I think they should have tightened up the book. I am going to suffer through Ariana to watch this movie.
Yeah.
I do not think she is a good cast for this at all.
Because Glinda is actually more important than Elphaba.
I think those so too. Well, I think Cynthia is a great cast for
yes,
this.
Yes, of course.
100%. I think she's the wrong cast. And I think, like, even before the SpongeBob stuff, but like now with the SpongeBob stuff added to it, that makes it even less compelling to me.
Yeah.
And so it's just, now I'm interested, like the Bo and Yang of it all, the Michelle Yeoh of it all. Like, I'm very into all of that.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum. Yes. Obviously Jonathan Bailey is going to be, oh my gosh. Like, I would do anything. Listen, I would suffer through Ariana for a Jonathan Bailey snack any day.
That's right. And as a reminder, guys, Jonathan Bailey is Anthony Bridgerton in the second season of Bridgerton, and he was in Fellow Travelers, and he was very good.
He's
to look
maybe,
at.
I mean, just delectable.
I was kind of hoping they'd be like, we're gonna do NC-17. Yeah, that
I'd
song.
I'd be down.
Yeah.
So it's Ariana for me. I'm not excited about her at all. Like, I know she has the pipes. I don't think she has the acting chops.
And I do think Glinda is so critical.
Yeah.
In this
you
production.
Have to have the nuance.
Yeah.
Like, this part is genuinely so hard to play. I think Kristen Chenoweth did really such a compelling job when she originated this role. Like, you have to have such a nuance to be that, like, to really ride that line of being good and also, like, not like annoying, but not too annoying. And I don't know. I think she's too polarizing. I think Ariana's too polarizing for this.
And it feels like she thrives when you can hide her on the periphery a little bit. Like, in Scream Queens, I really liked her because she was funny, but they didn't ask anything of her.
Yeah.
I guess, like, there's a different version of this world in this movie where I feel like, man, this is going to sound so weird, and I don't even want to say it, but I feel like Dove Cameron is Glinda. Because I feel like she can do a comparable Kristen Chenoweth kind of perkiness, but also tinged with villainy. But I don't know if that's the world we're living in right now.
Huh, that's interesting. I don't know.
I don't like your response to
I don't know. I don't know who is the person.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Was there somebody you had in mind?
No,
that you would
have
preferred?
There's really not. Like, someone in my DMs was like, I wish they would have cast one of the Broadway Glindas. And I was like, I don't even think any of the Broadway Glindas could have done this.
No, I don't think so either. I wish they had just done a live filming. They should have done the Hamilton of it all. And they should have just filmed the original cast before they left. And that should have been the end of it.
And we would have been fine with that.
And we would have been fine.
They probably were going to do that, but they're like, we spent like $1 million on this sex toy, turn it into a train. We're making a GD movie. Okay. I don't care what your plans are.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. Was there another trailer you loved?
I got really invested in Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah, you did?
Because I found out that Jeffrey Katzenberg, he was like, you know, because like the 4, that's like, we don't have any good ideas. We're just going to do another one.
Yeah.
But Jeffrey Katzenberg was like, nah, dog, we're going to do 10. We're doing double dig Kung Fu Panda. And we've watched those movies. There's not enough story on that story meat on that narrative bone to get to 10 stories. I don't know how they're going to do 4. I went and looked up some of the villains, some of the animal villains they've been dealing with. It's a snow leopard, a peacock, a bull. So that tells me we are in some dire straits in this movie, Kung Fu Panda 4. I apologize if I'm spoiling this. It's going to be a chameleon. Feels a little on the nose. You know, feels a little kind of obvious. Chameleons, distrustful, stuff like that. I'm hoping the trailer did not suggest this. The trailer, frankly, was kind of unremarkable. It's really heavily, I don't know if they saw Jack Black in Super Mario Brothers and they saw the Peaches song and they're like, let's give this guy more real estate because he is very charming in an animated role. But I want them to introduce, you know what's cooler than just a regular panda, Jamie?
What?
A red panda, ginger panda. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a menstruating panda.
Okay, not where I was going, but cool. You know, your voice, your choice. I like the idea of I think like Trolls did this kind of, when you get towards the end of the story, you start adding family members you didn't know about, you know?
Yeah.
So I like that there's a red panda played by like Jessica Chastain, Prince Harry, Carrot Top, Reba McEntire. All of the, any of these would be, I think Reba in particular would be a great addition to the Panda universe.
Abel should have Sing Live. Uh-oh!
Whoa!
She did hit that under. That was the shortest. Yeah. They said it was like the second shortest in history.
Yeah,
because she could hear herself in her own ears. And she's like, I gotta go.
Like, this is the first time I've ever heard myself sing, and I do not like it. It's not good.
But I've never seen Kung Fu Panda, all of them, and I watched this trailer, and all I kept thinking was, those bunnies are fantastic.
Bunnies are great.
Like, when they're like, violence makes my tummies tingle, I just love like, I need more of you. I want to. So I'm going to watch a Kung Fu. Is there a better? Is there the best? Or do you have to go in order?
Oh, no. You're going to be lost if you don't watch them in order, Jamie. You'll have no idea. It'll be like Dragon Warrior. Who? What's going on? So you got to watch them in order. Respect that, please. Is there a chance we're in like, you know, like sometimes in history, like you don't know the moment you're living in. And then like in 30 years, it was like, well, they were clearly in the Renaissance, you know? And no one in the middle of it was like, yo, dog, we're in the Renaissance. Are we in a Jack Blackessence and we just don't know it right now? And like, we're going to look back and people will be like, probably the greatest comedic aspect of, you know, the 2020s was Jack Black.
Jack Black?
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying he set himself up well. He's super animated, very likable. He's cooking on all the animated corners. I can see him doing something on TV as like, if they do like an It's Always Sunny in like Knoxville, he's the Danny DeVito character. Because like Danny DeVito, like what's he up to? What's he doing?
He's doing that dumb commercial with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Exactly. Like, but he makes that thing work. I think he's not Jimmy John's. He's the other one. It's not Jason's. It's a sandwich place.
Firehouse.
No, it's the other
Qdoba.
One. Mike? Is there a Mike?
Qdoba is burritos.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Subway.
Quiznos. It's not that one.
McAllister's.
It's like
Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's. Thank you. That's it. Jersey Mike's. But it's like he's always around and there. And I just feel like Jack Black's kind of prime real estate right now.
I'm looking at his, you know, he did the Jumanji and he was good. He was good in those Jumanji movies.
That's the thing. Don't look at the IMDb because it's not going to be traditional. He's just going to be like immersed in the culture everywhere. He's going to be Kung Fu Panda, obviously.
And he did the Goosebumps. He was good in the Goosebumps.
Sure. Maybe. I just feel like he has staying power. Whereas someone else, you know, Will Ferrell will fall by the wayside. And like, you know, our great-grandchildren or whatever, they'll be like, I think Jack Black was like the greatest.
Well,
American.
I will think that we will say he's one of the best voice actors. Like, for sure. Because he's Bowser. And then you look at what's coming. He's going to play Claptrap in Borderlands.
Look at that. That's a video game.
For him.
Man.
I
don't know if that's going to be good. Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for, and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Why don't we wrap up here with some news? We'll go, how do we feel about, we're not just getting more Golden Bachelor, we're getting more Golden Bachelorette, Jamie.
We knew it was coming. Okay, so what we've learned is ABC announced at their Winter TV Critics Association press tour that a spinoff is currently in the works, following the massive success of The Golden Bachelor. And when I say massive, I really mean massive. 43 million people watched. 43 million!
I like the mathematical arbitrage of, yeah, like, big number. We don't know how to contextualize that. It was like, I think it was, he was getting, or that season was getting like low fours. And then towards the end, it got like up to fives. And I think six was the finale. And yeah, the wedding got five.
Because the way they phrase it is the show reached 43 million total viewers after 35 days of viewing across linear and streaming platforms and ranks as the number one new unscripted TV series among adults 18 to 49, which, by the way, if you didn't know, are the only people who matter for money. And so, and I'm about to age out of that group. But and then it was also ABC's number one unscripted series premiere ever on Hulu in the history of Hulu. So it's set to premiere in the fall. We don't know the cast. We don't know if it's going to be a woman from Jerry's season. No, Gary. Wait, I don't remember.
No, but I'm going to let that stay because that's the nuance. We don't know what his name really is.
Jerry. I think it's Gary.
I think it's Gary Sarave. I think that's what we said.
Exactly right. And so we're going to get a lady in her 60s or beyond. Listen, I kind of want him to be Maggie Smith. Like, we trot Maggie Smith out at 92 or however old Maggie Smith is. And be
dead,
like,
or alive, Maggie Smith. I look, it may, like you said, we knew it was coming. The current Bachelor dude, I don't know his name. I don't know the vibe. I don't know the season. I don't know what like that's like, but he's right, like barely over 3 million per episode. Zach Shallcross, he was under 3 million episode. So yeah, these are just not hitting. So they had to change it up, which I appreciate. The older people, funnily enough, think it's people with more years on Earth to be problematic. So yeah, that's interesting. But also, I kind of think they're more open to settling down than a 21-year-old is, you know? So it kind of makes sense that this actually might have some staying power, whereas before it turned into just like a platform vehicle. But the thing I'm most excited about is, do you even understand like what kind of sketchball geezer skeezer contestants we're going to get? Like, we're going to get con men. We're going to get all kinds of just dirtbag dudes.
Yes, because in The Golden Bachelor, the women were pretty like, there were a couple that were but like problematic in the least problematic way a Bachelor contestant has ever been. But men?
Oh, these homies 16? Are going to be dire, baby.
Listen,
it's going to be rough.
Listen, I fly with them at the front of the plane and we get on. Listen, never let a lady go ahead. Are constantly yelling about overhead space, constantly yelling at flight attendant. I was on a flight this weekend where a guy was like, I can put my bag where I want. And she was like, actually, no, like you really can't. Like you do have to.
That's a metaphor.
Because he didn't want to check his, he didn't want to gate check. And they were like, everybody's gate checking. He said, I don't pay for first class to gate check. And she goes, yeah, what? She was not like, yeah.
I'm just saying, I like, if you remember John Locke's father from Lost, the guy who was like, I do need one of your kidneys or lungs or something. And he was like, finders keepers later. It's going to be a bunch of John Locke dads. And I honestly, I can't wait to see this.
And listen, for those who are still watching The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, I watch an episode of Joey's season of The Bachelor. He is nice. That makes for boring TV. Mm. Like, it is not interesting. I was like, the whole time I was like, well, this isn't even interesting.
See, that's the problem. The internet apparatus, social media, won't allow for a sketchy dude because he'll just get run through the ringer.
Right.
But secretly, that's what everyone wants to watch is
that's
a sketchy
what I
dude.
Watch. Yeah, stuff. I do. And you'll get sketchy boomers for sure.
Dang right. You dang right. Okay, that is it for our conversation on The More You Know.
The more you know.
Again, if you like this, if you like the content and the rhythm of this kind of episode, we do this frequently for our BFOTs. Just go to noxnear.com/Patreon to join us to make sure that you don't miss a single episode of this. And as always, if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know at noxnear.com/543. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
Okay, my red light this week, I saved an ad that I did not talk about in the main part because it deserved its own red light classification. And that is the brand Temu. That's how we pronounce it. Here's the thing. They had 7 ads during the Super Bowl. 7 ads. What? Okay. So first of all, I had to call Chuck and Jan immediately and be like, hey, I know you saw these ads for Temu and that it's really inexpensive. Don't shop there. It's bad. It's bad. They're going to steal all your data and you don't want to do it. The other thing is, I was like, how did Temu afford 7 ads? And first of all, I was like, well, maybe they're doing like Afterpay, like you pay like in installments. But then I also was like, oh no, the Chinese government paid for this. The Chinese government paid for this. And then they had the gall to then suggest, after being a company for years, oh, by the way, it's Temu.
What?
It's Temu. No, it's not. It's Temu. We decide what you're called. If you're going to come to America, we decide what you're called. And as a reminder, guys, just a quick. If you're thinking about shopping, and I know you are because it's the number one free app on Apple today. The number one free app is Temu. And here's what I'm going to remind you, that the Congress has investigated both Shein and Temu for using forced labor from the Xinjiang region of China. And so if you've heard, I don't know if you've heard of the Uyghur genocide in China, where more than 1 million Muslims have been forced into re-education camps and then made to do forced labor, they're making your skincare from Temu. So that's what is happening, allegedly. And so just a heads up, if Congress is like, literally, and this is a bipartisan committee who was adamant in a summer statement, they said, American consumers should know that there's an extremely high risk that Temu's supply chains are contaminated with forced labor. So I'm just saying, spend a dollar more and maybe avoid the forced labor. Do you know what I mean?
I saw the commercial, the first like 4 flew over my head, and someone at a party was talking about using like the service. And I, at that, up to that point, I thought it was just like a mobile game. I thought it was like a Roblox, like a Jace kind of deal. Right. I didn't know that it was something like that people could use, like adults
could
use.
It's like, so Shein is mostly fast fashion, also have been accused of a lot of human rights violations. And then, and I was somebody who shopped at Shein, and I don't anymore, because when you know better, you do better. And Temu is, they're like a drop shipper. So, and they got a lot of, and the reason the Congress was investigating them is because they got, they don't have to pay taxes. They kind of do some things to kind of get out of paying U.S. taxes. That's why their items can stay so cheap. But listen, they're problematic in more ways than one. We're not talking about just like a billionaire who has like a penis rocket. Like, it's not just that. Like, it's more than that.
Yeah.
Although he, did you see that he sold $2 billion worth of shares in Amazon?
No, Jamie, I didn't. And if that's why everything takes 13 days to get to me now, I'll have some questions.
It is.
My red light is, even though I did, Aaron, did you see anything on use PJ? I just never heard. Like, you just waiting for.
Oh, that's right.
Contact
no,
on that.
No, I got stuff. I got
it's, at this level, sometimes you like you've got to like you know bank records and stuff. I get it, that makes sense. We'll follow up later. Even though I did make a lot of money on the Kansas City Chiefs, they got to be stopped.
Oh, congratulations! Congratulations!
Thank you. They have to be stopped. This is enough. It's ridiculous. I was in the position last night of like, I was financially invested in the Chiefs. I wanted the Niners to win. I like Kyle Shanahan. I felt bad for Niners fans. It'd be cool if Brock Purdy won. For them to lose that way was so sad. I felt so bad for everybody.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs are officially a menace on the world and football. This is back to back. This is consecutive championships. Hasn't been done since the Patriots in the early 2000s. The cultural deluge of Mahomes and Kelsey, and if he's still with Taylor Swift. I just don't know. I don't know that we're built to handle it, especially in election season. I'm just asking for football minds to come together and figure out how to stop this, because this was probably their worst team to win a championship. They were not as good as they've been, and they still
won. Right, because they weren't as good in the season, right? Like they didn't have as good. They weren't as
good in the season, but they just weren't as good. I don't think their defense was better, but this is like the weakest version. They're only going to get better. We got to do something. We have to solve this. We can't just have the Chiefs win championships every year.
Will any of these players ever leave? Do you think they'd ever leave the team? You know how sometimes players go other places.
Sometimes you know you win and like you're like okay now I want to get paid, but you're also like I want to stay because I'll always probably be close to winning a Super Bowl if I stay here.
That's true. Yeah.
With Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, who again did have coloration that was consistent with Hitler's mustache. I'm urging the Harbaughs. You know, maybe someone get Belichick on the line, just Sean Payton, like somebody, please figure out how to beat the Chiefs because I'm going to keep betting on them.
Oh, yeah. And the owner of the Chiefs, I saw a bunch of TikToks this week. I have not verified them. So please know, like the Clark guy that was like and his wife with the blonde and the whatever.
Yeah.
They bought Taylor Swift a Judith Lieber microphone bag.
Like okay.
And Judith Lieber makes encrusted diamond Swarovski crystal bags. And they asked Travis to buy it for her and he did not. And so they bought it for her and it was like a $6,000 bag. Anyway, they are traditionalist when it comes to women and their daughters. And their daughters have done some social content that is like, we don't wear pants. And
yeah.
I was like, I just don't need any more of these people getting a microphone, whether it's a Judith Lieber bag or not.
Maybe have you thought about not looking into anyone ever again? And
no,
I feel
it
like
it
would,
yeah, it ruins it.
It have does.
You, I mean, not that like, listen, are we shocked that rich white people from legacy wealthy families might have some issues? No one's surprised by that. But I don't want Taylor to be friends with them. That's a problem. I don't want her to be like, I got my new bag from my like misogynist owner of my boyfriend's team.
Can I defend Travis Kelce for a second? If I've purchased a $1 million suite for you to experience the game in, I'm not also buying you a $6,000 microphone bag.
I know.
For what?
I paid $1 million for my brother to meet Ice Spice.
What microphone is going into this bag? The one she sings into?
No, it's just you put your lipstick in there. That's as big as it. You could probably put a lipstick in there. You could even fit your iPhone in there.
I thought you said mic. Is it called a microphone bag?
No, it's shaped like a microphone. It looks like a mic. We'll include a link in the show notes. It's a Judith Lieber bag.
Honestly, there was a good like 20 seconds where I didn't understand anything you were saying. I vaguely recognized people and names and Swarovski or something because there's an SNL skit. But there was a minute where I was like, I don't know how to contribute to this. I don't even know what's going on here. You know?
Yeah, it's fair. Fair.
Plight. Yeah. What's your green light this week, Jamie?
Okay, I have two green lights really quick. First is a book. You guys, the book, it's called A Love Song for Ricky Wilde by Tia Williams. This is like a romantic-y, but it's heavy on the romance, only very light. If you liked Addie LaRue, the book, then you will really love this. It begins, we're in present day, we have this kind of Ricky Wilde is our protagonist, and she's the youngest in this very high achieving, high society Atlanta family who have made their fortune from funeral homes. And everyone, all the sisters are going into the funeral home business. I love it because I'm fascinated by funeral home businesses because all the boomers are dying and like money is to be made, right? And we're going to run also out of graves, but no matter. Anyway, she though is the sister that's too much, too flighty, too whatever. And so she dreams of opening a flower shop. I love a trope where you don't want to be in the family business and you just want to open a flower shop. And so she ends up, and she has a very popular floral Instagram account, and she ends up moving to Harlem to follow her dream. And then she runs into, a fun Ezra, a jazz savant who is very hot and he's out of place. And they end up developing a romance. But then there's a little hijink with some time travel and maybe the Harlem Renaissance. And it's so well written. These characters are so thought out. The tropes are delicious. Like, it's so good. It has every element you want. You have this kind of backdrop of the Renaissance. You have a mystery, found family, and then just, you know, fun flower puns.
They're doing a little Zaxby's in this book?
They are doing a little Zaxby's.
Bone in and bone less? Kind of Zaxby's?
Okay, and then my second green light is the new stand-up special from Taylor Tomlinson. Listen, I have just become a season pass on Taylor Tomlinson as a stand-up. She is so good. This is called Have It All. It's on Netflix. She talks about getting her dream job, which she literally in the process of making this ends up getting a dream job, which is hosting a late night show. But finding a partner, dealing with whether she wants to have kids, dealing with anxiety, dealing with a father that she has a complex relationship with. If you watch her other specials, you get hints of some of this, but she does a great job. And here's what I love. She started her life in Christian comedy circles and broke free. And listen, nothing brings me more joy than her being more famous than the other two guys who just make fun of women for a living in their stand-up. So I love it. It's a fantastic special. It's a good hang. It is explicit, so be prepared for that. And as many Christians who end up being like, I do love the F word and the Lord. So she does it, and it's fantastic. So I think you'd really enjoy it. It's on Netflix. It's an hour. It's great. Okay, Knox, what are your green lights?
Green lights, actually. I've got plural this week. I'm going to start with a TV show. Oh, I think we talked about it in our Snoop Dogg Kill for February, but Traitors season two.
Yes.
I can't say enough good things. I can't really talk in detail because we're mid-season right now. But I will just say the cast is really great. Certain contestants are showing up and overachieving and performing in ways that have surprised me and I've begrudgingly respected. Other contestants are underwhelming, but in a very entertaining way. It's just the perfect format. There are three devious competitors of the cast called traitors, and the game is to find out who they are. If the faithful, the other contestants, don't find out, the traitors win all the money. If they do, the faithful get all the money. Every episode, the traitors get to kill someone. Not literally, that'd be wild, but like just remove them from the game, and the faithful get to guess who they think is a traitor. And if they are right, they're vindicated. It's just fascinating. Alan Cumming is the host. I've decided it's my favorite kind of host besides Jeff Probst because he just doesn't engage with anyone. He's like, I'm here to wear awesome outfits. If you ask me a question, I'll just ignore you. I just tell you like pithy one-liners and I walk off in my mansion.
I kind of love that. I saw a tweet during this, because somehow I have gotten on Traitors Twitter. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of one woman who is just dressed in a weird kind of beige blouse. They just kept adding her into things. I don't know what that's about. Anyway, my question is, somebody said the best rom-com on TV right now is The Traitors. Do you think that's true?
It's, I can't give away.
You can't give away anything. But is there a, are there some, are we getting a little romance
there's,
in the house?
It might be a romance. Might be a bromance. It might be someone from Love Island and The Bachelor. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But
oh, I love it.
There's a Goose Mav vibe with them right now.
Oh,
and
I love it.
Frankly, okay. I love to see it. I just highly encourage everybody. You can kind of zone in or zone out in the middle. Just pay attention to the beginning and the end. It's like the perfect kind of, I'm working on stuff, but I'm also watching the show. Yeah. The other one is, I mentioned this a couple episodes ago, never actually greenlit it. I got this recommendation from the Currently Reading podcast in the episode you can listen to right now that Jamie and I were both on, but it's Cold People by Tom Rob Smith. The big premise is aliens roll up on humanity and they basically like telepath into your head. And they're like, you got 30 days to get to Antarctica or else. And once there, humans got to like figure it out. And the story skips around throughout like time, basically. And they focus on a handful of characters. There's some survivalism. There's some genetic engineering. There's a debate on the essence of human nature. I really enjoyed it. I think if you're not into kind of aliens / sci-fi survivalism, you won't vibe with this book. But if you are, I think you'll really very much like it. Shifts perspectives pretty frequently. I think I got through it in like a couple days. So I highly recommend it.
I love a dystopian and yeah. I love a setting that's really
especially beautiful. A frozen dystopia. That's good stuff. Okay, that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast from FreeGo. Remember, anytime you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to Amazon.com/shop/ the podcast first year purchase. Use our affiliate link for your item purchasing. That link this week was, I think I got all of it on that description.
Yeah.
Jamie, this is a ACT prep black book.
Yeah, so this is just a prep book if your kid is taking the ACT. I mean, can you take the ACT if you're just like a rando adult that's like, can I want to take the ACT?
I kind of want to take the ACT now and just
yeah,
bomb it,
right?
Just to do
well,
it.
Well, this was the book you would need to prep, although it's not. I learned in the reviews that you actually need the red book and the black book. The black book only tells you the answers to the questions, but okay. The red book has the questions in it. It's complicated, but it does have 4.5 stars. My favorite review, the person who did not buy the red book was William Carey. He gave it 1 star and he just wrote useless with 2 Z's. And I do think it is useless for you, William Carey. All right, you guys, don't forget, you can get a free trial to be a BFOS over on Patreon, and it's 7 days and you can try out and see what you like. Even watch our AUA from Tuesday night, which was a Fat Tuesday party. We're now in it. Lent, death, sadness, got it. So you want to relive the last days before Lent, then you can go and watch that. Go to noxjamie.com/Patreon to sign up. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter @JamieBGolden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on socials @KnoxMcCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.